Just an update, Indianapolis dealing with some rain in the area, so the Indy 500, they're getting close to starting that, but there's still some sprinkles, and they've got to be very careful over there. So minutes away, there's going to be some more rain coming to Indianapolis. Shouldn't be too bad before they finally get that started. It's not good news, though, for Kyle Larson, who is trying to run two races today, the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. Joining us on the line is Bernie Miklas. He is with us every Sunday at this time. Sometimes we move him because of Cardinal baseball, but the Cardinals game today, Bernie, is at 1:15, and they are on fire right now. That has been fun to watch. What a crazy game that was yesterday.
Oh, that was, man, I'd like to put a list together of the best games of the season. That would be on it. That would be up there pretty high because, boy, they couldn't score, and then they scored, and the Diamondbacks came back and jolted them in the top of the eighth. Cardinals recovered in the bottom of the eighth. I mean, just phenomenal. And then Helsley with the cliffhanger in their ninth. So the Cardinals are just – what I love about this is, you know, before Arizona came to town, the Cardinals had lost 3 out of 4 games. Is that a big deal? No. But I was curious to see, you know, like, how they would respond to, like, their first little stretch of, like, not winning games when you go 1-3. It's not a big deal. But for this team, we're always going to be checking them. We're always going to say, okay, how are they going to handle this? How are they going to handle that? Well, they come out and, you know, led by Matthew Liberatore and Miles Michaelis, and they come out and shut down. I'm talking about their starting pitchers, those two guys. They shut down one of the best offenses in baseball, their starting pitchers, 2 games in a row. And, yeah, there were some twists and turns and some suspense, but the bottom line is they responded to this stretch of losing 3 out of 4 by coming out and fighting the Diamondbacks with everything they had. And both of those games could have gone either way. But as we've seen the Cardinals do it so many times, they found a way to win. And I just really admire this team and its competitiveness.
I hear you. And, you know, the Diamondbacks are really good. I mean, don't be fooled by their record. They lost 3 of 4 to – actually, they split with the Dodgers. Isn't that right? No. They lost – let's see. Let me see if I can find this. They – against the Dodgers, they had they lost 3 of 4. And then before that, they played the Mets and struggled in that one as well. They split with the Dodgers. They lost 2 of 3 to the Mets. They played the Phillies before that and lost 2 of 3. They played the Mets at home and won 2 of 3. They played the Braves before that, a good Braves team, better than their record, and lost 2 of 3. They have had a gauntlet of a schedule. So,
they have. Yeah, I think it's they're one of the best teams in the National League. They got to get their pitching together. Although in this series, you know, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly were outstanding, but they're, as a team, they're allowing too many runs. But they're still one of the best teams in the NL. And that's the other thing: the Cardinals, they match up very well against good teams. I mean, that was one of the questions we had, and I understand it because I asked it myself. You know, when the Cardinals got pounded by Boston, and you know, the Mets swept them that time in New York and Atlanta beat them 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. And, you know, the question was, well, can they beat the really good teams? Well, the thing of it is, you know, Minnesota's a really good team. They swept them. Let's move down to Philadelphia. They won 2 series from Philly. They won a series from Houston. They won a series with Milwaukee, which had a winning record at the time. They beat the Mets. Now they've beaten the Diamondbacks. I mean, they're showing, and they played, you know, they basically played, you know, the Tigers down to the wire. When you lose 2 out of 3, it's not that big of a deal. They played well against the Tigers, except for that final game. So, no, they're checking every box. I mean, you know, remember we were all wondering, are they going to win on the road? Can they win consistently on the road? Well, they've passed that test. You know, can they fix the bullpen? They passed that test. Can they continue to win at home? They've passed that test. Can they beat good teams? They've passed that test. Can they handle adversity? They've passed that test. And that also applies to some individual players, you know, and maybe Tom, not that you're running the show, but let me just throw this one at you. Is Jordan Walker starting to find it a little bit? What a great performance by him yesterday.
Well, that game yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the seats yesterday watching the game, and I'm thinking, I went through the whole gamut when it came to Jordan Walker yesterday. The first two, I'm like, you know what? He's really struggling. I mean, he can't find it. He strikes out twice. Then he gets the hit, and I thought, what a great thing for him. Maybe this is it. You know, maybe the and then the play out in right field. Oh, Jordan, I mean, you gotta keep that ball in front of you. And then he comes back out there, of course, in a big moment, bang, gets the big hit. It tells me something about his intestinal fortitude, about him as a person, but also his skills. Yes, I think they have picked up. Those are two big clutch hits for the young man. We got to remember how young he is, Jordan Walker, Bernie.
Absolutely. You know, and if you look at it, he's had some good games lately. There was one Detroit game where he went 0-for-3. But he had had like hits in four. Let me think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had had before that. He had had four at least a hit in four of his previous five games, with including a home run and including a double. Okay, so then the one Detroit blanked him on. I think it was the Wednesday game. It was, and then quiet. He actually was a defensive replacement Friday, and then yesterday 2-for-4 double. 3 RBIs, 2 huge at-bats, as you just acknowledged. So he's got a little bit going on. He's got a little bit going on, and that's all you're kind of hoping to see is just that progress. And I think his at-bats have been better. There's still some strikeout issues, but even those have gotten a little better lately. So that's a really good sign for the Cardinals.
I just think this starting rotation, giving them a chance to win, is a huge part of it. I mean, Liberatore was so good yesterday, but I cannot get over Miles Michaelis and what he has done to get himself back on track. That looks like the old Miles Michaelis back in 2018 when he was setting them up and getting their bullpen in position. He gives up one run in 6 innings. I mean, let's go. That's the guy you're looking for.
Yeah, he's been on fire. I mean, he's pitched great since that time he got pummeled in Boston, which was the third series of the season. He's pitched really well. He's given a chance to win every game. And that's, see, I think Michaelis and Liberatore both represent why this is such an appealing team, why this is such a team that is exceeding expectations. Let's face it, I'm not going to sit here and be a phony. I wrote Miles Michaelis off. I saw two seasons in a row where his ERA is over 5. He's not getting any younger. He wasn't striking people out. He gets destroyed in Boston. And he statistically was one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. He really was. I mean, it's a fact. But I didn't see this coming, what he would do after that nightmare at Fenway Park. He's been fantastic. And so if you would have asked anyone who is objective about this, like, what, you know, do you think Miles Michaelis will have a good season, a surprisingly good season? The answer would have been 98% of people would have said, no, of course not. What are you sniffing glue? Are you crazy? And then the other thing is then you take the combination of Matthew Liberatore, who's never fully gotten a chance to start where they've committed to him as a starter. So you have the oldest guy in the rotation. He's been written off. He's been awful for 2 years in a row until that Boston stretch. And so you take the old guy who's been written off because he's gotten beat up a bunch. You take the youngest starter in the rotation who never got a shot, and we're all wondering, can he ever be a starting pitcher? Should maybe keep him in the bullpen? The fact that these are the two guys, with all due respect to Sonny Gray, these are the two guys that have been like carrying the ball. And the two of the biggest surprises of the season are Miles Michaelis and Matthew Liberatore. So my point is for an underdog team to do well and to exceed expectations, one of the first things that's got to happen is that there's got to be individual players who have not had a lot of success. And then all of a sudden, wow, these guys are locked in. These guys are really good. And that's how an underdog becomes a contender. You have enough of those things happening, you know, in one season. When you're an underdog, you get these underdogs can rise to the top when they get these great contributions from people that weren't expected to do so. Maybe Victor Scott's in that camp as well. You know, if you think about it, he didn't make the club until basically the final day out of spring training, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say he's exceeded expectations, you know. So and so that's just been going on and on and on. And Yvonne Herrera just never stops hitting. Never takes a bat at bat. Never. He's a success story. You see, they're having, and I'm leaving people out. Don't get me wrong, but they have a lot of success stories going for them this year. Players who are doing better than perhaps we thought they would.
The plan is working out so far for the Cardinals. Two games out, six games over, and they take on the Diamondbacks today and go for a sweep. Bernie Miklas, have an outstanding Sunday. We appreciate all that you do online and on air for us and others, and we will catch up with you real soon.
Thank you, brother. Always a pleasure to be with you. Take care.
Always good to be with Bernie Miklas on KMOX. Let me say one final thing to the fans here, is that we are hearing you out there. Do not underestimate Cardinals fans. They protested. The empty seats were there. But I was at the game yesterday. There is a life to the crowd. People are starting to come back. Heard you cheer, groan, and cheer again for Jordan Walker's things and the things that he did, the hit, the misplay, the hit. Heard you boo Randall Grichuk when he did the jump shot motion, rounding the bases, approaching third after his home run. There's a lot of excitement right now among some of those fans. Don't think there isn't. This is a team that is a lot of fun right now. Cardinal baseball is next on KMOX.